Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Wasn't that a nice and smooth intro for you, Sarah?
Whoa, very, very, very.
Yeah, I was very impressed with it myself, if truth be told. We decided I need to save every second that I possibly can. So we're going to go straight into your slot from here on in. Let's talk about Zuma's army is illegal. I didn't know he had an army. I know the MK Vets stopped Becky Cele's motorcade from arriving at Nkandla today. But tell me about more about his army.
Well, that is his army. I mean, basically, you've got the MK Veterans Association. They have these people who are going to protect Jacob Zuma from all and sundry, and they will support him to the end, and they're marching around in fatigues. And they also look like they're the grandchildren of the vets. I mean, you know, by and large, no one marching around is under the age of 20, is over the age of 25. The problem is that in order to have any sort of armed force, it has to be by legislation, and it has to fall under the National Defence Force, or unless you've got something like private security, which is extensive legislation and regulation governing them. Nothing governs the MK Vets, and so ostensibly they are an illegal paramilitary or whatever you want to call them. I mean, it's also illegal to for you to wear camouflage or any form of uniform that is likely to confuse you as to whether they may be regular army or something else. And looking at their camouflage outfits, I would say my opinion is that their outfits do very closely resemble army camouflage. I know there's some differences, but you'd have to really know your stuff to be alert to the differences. So essentially, they should be closed down. The ANC should have closed them down, and maybe they'll wish they had closed them down sooner. Because they unless they are formally part of any entity that is legislated for, they are not allowed to present as such. And also, you know, it's kind of, you know, this is the MK Veterans Association. There is no way that the ANC should be tolerating that they throw their weight behind one man, and particularly one man who's facing criminal charges, which will include a contempt finding by the Constitutional Court.
Tell me a little bit more about the guys in fatigues, the MK Vets. Are they in any way armed? Do we know?
Well, let's put it this way: they don't come out publicly armed. Generally, I think they might have on one occasion, but let me put it this way: I would be very surprised if back at the ranch or the barracks, there aren't arms to be used in should circumstances dictate that. I assume they know they'd be in real trouble if they had arms in public. But I, you know, this is South Africa. Arm free. Let's put it that way. And of course, the ANC should. 100%. I mean, they should be. The organization should be completely shut down, and if anything is created, it must literally be for veterans. Because even someone who would have been a young man in MK in the early 90s, you know, no one is going to be younger than 50 at best. So MK Vets, nah. You know, if you've got Carl Niehaus, I mean, you know, please.
Now you've mentioned the name that I was hoping you'd get to. I was wondering, because I don't know much about the man. It fascinates me. It absolutely fascinates me that he's there, this Afrikaans white guy, so very involved in the ANC Vets. Do we know what his story is?
Well, I know vaguely. The reason I know something is because he was – in some of my sister's varsity classes at Wits back in the day. And she said, you know, her impression was that he was sort of dour and humorless, which I think would probably
accurate.
my experience with him is a little less direct, but a little more dangerous in that he was the guy who tried to blow up some or all of the magistrates' court in Johannesburg. Now, in those days, I worked at a law firm downtown, which was close by, but, you know, us sort of low-life lawyers had to park behind the magistrates' court and then walk to the firm. And, you know, we were literally every day walking past where Carl Niehaus decided he wanted to exercise his revolutionary zeal. I think it's a case of that's where he was accepted and that's who he owes allegiance to. He is certainly very, very strange. I mean, he's faked both his father's and mother's deaths to attract funding.
Bizarre and perverse. There's another issue I wanted to raise with you today, and that is an ostensible realignment that's happening behind the scenes. You know, you and I joked about Juju having tea with Zuma. But he did have tea with Zuma, and then he came out incredibly strongly against Ramaphosa after the meeting. Interpret all that for me.
Well, look, there have been some articles that I have to catch up on interpreting that. Some people think that, you know, it's a storm in a teacup. It's a publicity stunt. Although I'm not so sure for two reasons. One is he got to the meeting via helicopter, so somebody had to pay for that. Yes. His chairman was there and all sorts of unsavory ANC characters were there. And I think that despite their falling out of some time ago, which we, you know, obviously what ended up resulting is in his dismissal from the ANC, I think he and Zuma have an affinity for each other, shall I put it that way. And I think it probably actually doesn't have its roots in ideology. It has its roots in the fact that both men are in a greater or lesser degree of legal trouble. So
my enemy is my friend. Absolutely. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And friends and enemies keep changing very quickly in that milieu.
Yes, whatever's expedient. Sarah, in 1 minute, and seriously, no more than a minute, Sona happened this week. I'm going to ask you to give the president a scorecard, a mark. Why am I feeling you're going to give him about 45%?
You were wrong. I'm going to give him 20%, and that's generous. Okay.
Really, that bad?
It was, because it was a lot of fluff, and I think we're tired of fluff. It was also dishonest in parts. It was rambling in others. It stuck to, I mean, promises from here to kingdom come, plans and committees and commissions and blah, 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 blah. The reality is we want the hard stuff and we want the change, and he's not going to give it to us.
I couldn't have asked for more. Thank you so much, Sara Gon. Loved your input today and look forward to it next week, same time.
Pleasure.
That was Sara Gon, policy fellow at the Institute of Race Relations. Always interesting and, controversial ideas.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.